Good morning, and welcome to the Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the whole Bible, Bible's own way, and we are excited for another day of grace, and a day in which the Lord has given us to share this wonderful message. And for those that are listening, you might be for the first time. If not, we encourage you to come and visit us on Sunday mornings at the location here in Maslin. And we'll be singing a song today, To God Be the Glory, number 35. We'll sing all three of them. Pianist met this week, but the choir didn't, so you're going to have to sing loud, okay? It's 35 in your book, 25 on mine. Sorry. Number one. To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved He the world, He gave us His Son, who yielded His life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give glory, great things He hath done. Number two. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer, the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes, the moment from Jesus a pardon receive. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus, Son, and give Him the glory He has. Number three, great things He had taught us, great things He hath done. And greater rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport when Jesus I see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done. Amen. Genesis chapter 12. We're in lesson 52, and just to recap a little bit on what we're doing, there's four institutions that God ordained in the book of Genesis, and we as dispensationalists study the Word of God rightly divided. We know that. But we also encourage you that the first 11 chapters of Genesis still applies to us today. And one of the things is, remember what the four institutions they are? What's the first one? Free will, volition, marriage, family, human government. Nationalism. So volition is the responsibility and privilege of each individual to choose to do the will of God. God will never violate our free will. He gives us a choice. He says, that's your choice. You deal with it. You know, Adam and Eve had a choice. You know, they would know it's, a, we're not robots, so to speak, and we're not clones, and we're not slaves. We're able to respond. You respond to the Word of God, and responsibility demands that you are ability to respond to that. So that's the word volition we use, free will. Second is marriage. Marriage is to give stability in life, a husband and a wife. That's what marriage is. It's a recreation and completion of humanity, and that was in Adam. Adam was created, and what did God give him a job, didn't he? Named the animals. And then what happened? He's looking around like, wait, they got a pair. They got, you know, mates. Where's mine? So God took Eve out of Adam, and what did they do? Was Adam complete or incomplete at that point? He was? He was incomplete when he got the when he created Eve. He wasn't whole again until they was what? Married. So when they married, they become together, and they completed that man once again. Then the next is a family. Family is the basic building block for society. We need families. Okay? The next one we looked at is nationalism. Nationalism is to protect those three institutions and for to propitiate an orderly, proper function of the first three institutions. We need a human government to protect those things. What's the opposite of nationalism? Is that good or bad? It's not good. Yeah. And we found that through the Tower of Babel. That's what was going on, internationalism, and that corrupted God's plan for the earth. Now, all these institutions are designed to give freedom to the first institution, volition. You live by choice. You make choices every day. Depends on your lifestyle in Jesus Christ, and Lord Jesus Christ. We make good choices. We make bad choices, don't we? You know, we make all kinds of choices. So we have to deal with that circumstances. All the institutions are designed to make the first one functionable. And then you go to, you choose to serve God on your free will, and that allows your family to function and your marriage and stuff. What happened in Genesis chapter 11, we found out last couple of things. There was a satanic counterplot against the institution of nationalism. He's done, if you remember, free will, marriage, and family was functioning until Genesis 4, 5, and 6. Okay? What happened in Genesis 4, 5, and 6 was the fact that those attacks was against that marriage. Those attacks was against that family. And the people that was being born, they started taking two wives. That type of thing. So what happens in Genesis, the flood of Noah is what stopped that, or supposed to stop that. And then the counterplot against the family resulted in a flood. The volition of marriage was the garden and the fall. Always remember that. Then the counterplot against the family resulted in the flood. How many was on the ark? We talk about that all the time. You know, we talk about, we got more people right now here than Noah did on the ark. You know what I mean? That type of thing. And all. Then against nationalism, human government, you have the Tower of Babel. Man goes off to idolatry, going to their own gods, gathering himself together against God. You don't see that happening today, do you? I'm just being funny, but it's happening today. It's happening right under our noses. And God sets the nation and the world aside, and they choose not to function according to divine laws of establishment under nationalism. And God sets up aside and calls out one man out of all the nations of the world. And remember who that guy's name is? Abram. And you compare that, hold your finger there, and have you ever compared Genesis? Well, look at this right quick. Where did I tell you to turn? 12. Okay. When you compare Okay, Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, and get Acts chapter 7. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of the country and from the kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thee thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that curse thee and curse him that curse thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And where was I going to go? There was one other passage.
Bless them that bless thee, right?
Yep. Okay. When you compare in Acts chapter 7 of how the Lord God of glory appeared to Abram. And this is a recount that Stephen is doing. What do you know about Stephen in the Bible? He was a man full of what? Holy Ghost. Okay. When Abraham was chosen, that's where we're talking about right now. You go up through the lineage and you go all the way over to John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a man sent from God. God himself sent him. So John the Baptist is a representative of God the Father. What'd they do to him? They cut his head off. Lord Jesus Christ, same message. They had a message, repent and be baptized for remission of sins. John the Baptist comes on the scene. Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God himself, what did they do to him? Crucify. We have no king but who? Caesar. The next thing, 1 year later, God gives them a year after the cross. They give them a year for Israel to get it right, like the fig tree. Stephen says, a man full of the Holy Ghost. And what is Stephen saying here in chapter 7, verse 2 through 4? And he said, men and brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Charan, and said unto him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I shall show thee. Then came he out of the land of Chaldeans, and dwelt in Charan. And from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him from this land wherein ye now dwell. Stephen is talking about, what did he say, who appeared unto Abraham? God of glory. And a God in his kingdom title. This is the God of glory in his kingdom title of Christ as the Messiah and the king ruling in Israel, ruling in his kingdom, the God of glory appeared unto Abraham. So you got to think about that. What do we know from Genesis chapter 1 verse 2 all the way over Acts chapter 9? Where is the focus in your Bible at? Kingdom on earth, not in the heavens. They're praying for heaven to come to earth. We're praying to get off the earth in the dispensation of grace. So that from Genesis chapter 1 to Acts chapter 9, the focus is on the earth through prophecy. 90-some percent of people out there you talk to in Christendom is so focused in this time period here and time period here, they have no knowledge what's going on today. And this is where we should be at. If you want to know your God that created this Bible and this world, then you got to get in this program today, and that's in the dispensation of grace. I guarantee you, if you focus where you're at in Romans through Philemon, all this other stuff will fall right in place. All this stuff you read about out there, you know, prophecy coming down the track, we're in the dispensation of grace of God. God's put that postponed. So you think about, he appeared to Abraham and he uses that kingdom title as he separates this kingdom people. Now, who's the kingdom people out there? You got people today wanting you to build a kingdom, you know that? On this earth. And you're like, that's great. But that's not what God asking you to do. God is forming a what? Body of believers. You know how many organs and cells and whatever it is in your body? It's not just a heart. It's not just a liver, kidneys. You think about every cell in your body is a member of the body. So you think about this for a second. You think about the what God is forming to put us in the heavenly program. I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but you're seated in heavenly places. There's a government up there that you're going to be a part of. So think about the thousands of parts in your body that we're going to be forming a body for Him up there. There's nowhere in your Bible that you can find that Jesus Christ is the head of Bible, a body, until you get to Paul's epistles. It's about this God. It's about the kingdom. It's about the essence, what God is doing. He's going to take one nation from this point and set them apart and tell all other nations in the world, look at this bunch of people. Look what I'm going to do with this little group of people right here. This little Hebrew nation, I'm going to set them apart and they're going to be my son. I'm going to take care of them. I'm going to do things for them that they never have done before. So where does that leave everybody else?
Out of the picture.
We're a bunch of Gentiles. God gave us up. God gave us up. God gave us over at the Tower of Babel. That's what Romans chapter 1 is about. And if you can understand, I always say the first three chapters of Genesis, compare them with the first three chapters of Romans, and you get them together, you'll see why the world's the way they are right now. You'll see why people are the way they are. And once you can understand where they're at, you can deal with them better, can't you? You're going to say, wow, I know where you're at, buddy. Been there, done that, got a T-shirt, that type of thing. So in essence, he's telling them this. Those are the people I will separate off from anybody else, and I'm going to make them different. Does he? Yeah, the nation Israel was demonstrated, and all the other nations. That's why when we use the timeline, right here's where we're talking about in the Abrahamic covenant area, and we're going to talk about it shortly. He starts to separate Israel, or it wasn't called Israel then, as Abraham's people, Hebrew people. He starts to separate them, and this top line is the circumcision. They had the orifice as God. They had it all. But who's this down here? Nations. And God set us apart from there. And he says, I'm separating them. And he's going to demonstrate something that he's going to live. The God of glory is going to live and be their God in themselves. He's going to make representatives before everyone else. And you're going to be able to look at Israel and say, God's with them. What's Deuteronomy chapter 4? Deuteronomy chapter 4. Go there. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Hold your finger in Genesis. We're through with Acts. Deuteronomy. What do you know about Deuteronomy? What book is it? The fifth book. What do you know about Acts in the New Testament? The fifth book. Fifth book. The book Deuteronomy is the second giving of the law. He's telling them about that again. But Deuteronomy chapter 4. This is what God says about them, or what the people say. Verse 6, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon Him for? Question mark. And what nation is there so great that His statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? What nation was that? So all the other nations knew who Israel was. All the other nations know that God was with them. And when God wasn't with them, what did they think about it? Oh, they had to have what nation is there so great that does all these things that God gave them to do and has God so near to them? That's a question for you. The nation who? Not nations, right? Nation, one. And that nation, one, is not supposed to be reckoned amongst the nations. Period. That's in time past, by the way. So God sets them apart as a special nation. He holds diplomatic relationship with no other nations on this earth. Now, we know by your study that the nations down here could have access to God, right? You know that. But how was it? How was that? They went around Israel and went around their own and created and got to God, right? They had to go through the nation Israel. They had to fall under their umbrella, if you will, and understand that God was dealing with Israel for this earthly program, and the nation's supposed to be blessed through Israel. And he sets them aside. He set Israel aside. He set them aside because they were to be his representatives. Now, let me ask you something. Think about today right quick. Is that nation Israel representative of Jesus Christ, God of kingdom glory today? Be honest with yourself. They don't even recognize the same God you serve, Jesus Christ. So where are they at today? We'll get to that later on, but you got to keep that in mind. Right now, we're over there. And God separated them from everybody else. In Israel, you were able to see the function of the four divine institutions that we're talking about. Through Israel, you've seen volition. You've seen family. You've seen marriage. You've seen the human government that God's created to protect that, and that would set them apart. And they started prospering and all. You're able to see the institution function and created well-ordained national life. It's very, very important to understand nationalism. It ain't like what this fake news stuff or whatever you want to listen to out there. They're destroying what they're talking about. Nationalism is very, very important. Boundaries are very, very important. But you know the problem with Israel was? They walked with God and talked with God and all that stuff, and they did everything he told them to do, right? You know what the problem with them was? Who was the sons of? Who are you the son of?
Adam.
As well the sons of Abraham. And if they don't do it, they don't do any better than the nations have done, as you see. Many of you know the stories of them. Yet God is working with them in a special way. He promised them a redeemer in Genesis chapter 3:15, the seed of a woman. And now it's going to become isolated to the seed of Abraham. Then we talked about that God erecting the middle wall partition. There was a middle wall. Not only there's a circumcision, uncircumcision, there was a middle wall partition, okay, that was against us. And I was told and I read about, and many of you probably know, there was a 4-foot wall or so around the temple that the Gentiles, it meant death if that Gentile walked across there where the Israelites was. So we had a middle wall partition, which was the law. We had a spiritual wall, a physical wall, and Ephesians 2. Go to Ephesians 2 right quick. We had separation in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. You know, remember in times past, ye were Gentiles in the flesh who were called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hand. There's name callings back there. You think there's name calling going on today? Yes, there's no difference going on. God made that distinction. There's a separation between Israel and us Gentiles. Then it says that in time past ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. Advantage or disadvantage? For you guys right here, sitting here today, is that advantage or disadvantage? Who had advantage? Romans chapter 9 tells you they had the advantage up there. Wouldn't you want to be like them? If I was back in that day and I saw God's working with somebody, I don't think as a person alive don't want to be on a winning team. Whether you sit on a bench or a water boy, you're on a winning team. When you win the Super Bowl, everybody on the team gets a Super Bowl ring, whether you was out there for 60 minutes or not. You're part of that winning team. They had advantage. But look at this right here. the middle wall, verse 14. Well, verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye were sometimes were far off or made nigh by the blood of Christ. That was a spiritual wall right there. Spiritual wall. Then verse 14. For he is our peace who may have made both one and have broken down the middle wall partition between us. That's a legal wall. Then verse 16, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enemy thereof. That's the physical wall. So we was on the wrong side of the wall. And it started right back there. By the way, you see that? And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body at the cross. Is that what it says? What does it say? You should have that underlined in your Bible. Because people say, it's at the cross. It's at the cross grace started. It's at the cross the body of Christ started. It's at the cross, at the cross. At the cross, the vehicle was there, but it's not by the cross till you get to Paul. And that by is very, very important. I shared this probably 100 times. There was a PhD guy sit right there. And he could not get over that one little word, by. He kept saying, it's at the cross. It's at, I understand what you're saying, sir, but it's by the cross. And that's very, very important today because now you understand that by the cross what God is doing in the dispensation of grace. Go back to Genesis. And so you got to know, we talked about the God erection, the middle wall of partitions between Israel and all nations. That's what Paul's talking about. And the Gentile nations are on the wrong side. They're on the other side. And Israel's on the inside. Genesis chapter 12. The covenant that God made with Abraham, that he separated Abraham apart with, and made an agreement. He told Abraham he's going to do some things. And the covenant is going to be a basic form in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, the basic form. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of the country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse him that cursed thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now, in that passage right there we just read, there's a sevenfold division given there. Excuse me, not a vision, a provision that's given there. Number one, I will make thee a great nation. Number two, I will bless thee. Well, for $3.99, you can get the tape. You can go. Three is, I will make thy name great. You see that in the words that we're looking at. Thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee. You know the next one. I will curse thee, them that curse thee. And seven is, and thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. That's a lot to say. What do you know about the number seven in your Bible? Completion. Yep, perfection. God is going to make Israel a perfect nation in this earth. And this sevenfold division is a basic issue in the what? You ever heard of the Abrahamic covenant? That's what you're looking at right now. This is the basic issue in the Abrahamic covenant. The covenant with Abraham is expanded and confirmed in Genesis 13. Go there. Genesis 13, starting with verse 14. Genesis 13, starting with verse 14. And the Lord said to Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, so apparently Lot was just a lot to carry around. You know, because who did God say to Abraham, we just read, get thee away from what?
Thy kindred.
And he takes him with him. He said, was separated from him, lift up now thy eyes, and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all, notice next two words, the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And what's the next two words? For a short period of time. As long as your shoes don't wear out. As long as you don't complain about the calluses on your hands doing work. What does it say? Forever. So how long is he going to give that land to Abraham and his descendants? Do you believe God's word? And this is an eternal covenant that will last forever. Forever. Now, forever can be a very long time. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and the breadth of it, and I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelled in a plain of, was it Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. If you build an altar, he must know some things about God, right? Yeah, I was looking at this, and I'm just wondering. He goes down to Egypt. You know, Israel goes to Egypt several times in their history. You know that, don't you? You know why Abraham went to Egypt? What was going on and they go into the world to be fed. But I'm thinking, what Abraham was saying down there, knowing that he was in a land that he shouldn't be. You think he was sharing some things that God told him? He builds an altar. This is a confirmation and expansion of the covenant that he made with Abram in the first place. He says to Abraham, I will not only make you a seed great and bless you, but I'm going to give you the land of the seed you can dwell in. You know what we call that covenant? Y'all know the covenants.
Covenant Abraham.
You got the Abrahamic covenant we're talking about. What's the covenant we talk about the land? What do you know about that? What is it? Nope. That's close. Getting there. What are they fighting for over right now? What do they call that land over? The land of? Not only land of Palestine. That's the Palestinian covenant. And this is the basic of the Palestine covenant, that I'm going to give you that land to get up and walk. And what are they fighting over? That little 7-mile stretch of land over there? No. It's everything that he gets up and walks. It's a lot bigger than what we think it is. And the covenant that he made with Israel is the land of Palestine belongs to them. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. That's what the scripture says. God Almighty owns the title of the earth. The deed of earth, I should say. It is his, and we're just here. But what do we know about Adam when we talk about deeds and stuff?
He gave the deed away.
Now, who's the God of this world? The little g. He's got some power here, and we know that. But you know who don't own Palestine? The United Nations. They don't own Palestine, but yet they want to carve it up and give it to certain people. I've said this once, and I wholeheartedly believe it. That's a kinfolk war over there. They're cousins. And the greatest thing that one of these presidents we had talked about, you ever heard of the Abrahamic Accord? What happened to that? I mean, when it was established, was there still wars going on? and fighting going on like they are now, right now? But they wasn't fighting. So when you use Abraham's name with the Arabs, the Islam people, the Jewish, and even us Gentiles, it should wake you up a little bit. Because Abraham, even to us Gentiles today in the dispensation of grace, Abraham is the father of faith. And by the same type of faith that Abraham has, you and I have, and we can become, we can call him Father Abraham. Now, I mean, you might get upset with that, but you can. He's a father of faith. He understands eternal life. I'm not saying you follow him in the Abrahamic covenant. And the covenant that he makes with Abraham is like a basic agreement. Did he write it down? Did he say sign this 16-page document and we're going to keep it? They had an agreement, guys. His words meant something. I don't know if God shook Abraham's hand or not, but you know what I'm talking about? I still like that. I still love to. I've got an agreement with you. I don't need 16 pages. I'm sorry, I don't need it. You be the man of you. We always say, mean what we say. Say what we mean and mean what we say. And expanded the covenant he made with Abraham. The first, we'll get through this right quick. The first one of the expansion covenants is the Palestinian covenant. That covenant has to do with the land that God promised Abraham. The Palestinian covenant has the basic of outworking of the Abrahamic covenant. On this little chart right here, the promise that he made Abraham has to do with the nation. And who is that nation? And what? That's what you're learning about right now. Where is that land at? Where is Abraham looking? In the United States of America, greatest nation on earth. Right? Where is he looking at? Eternally over here in this kingdom over here. That's where he's going to live forever. And everything begins with God promised to Abraham and to his seed. And the covenant is expanded and we'll include them. Go to Genesis chapter 15. It includes some land. Not only a promise of eternal life, he's going to expound it on some land. Because you know if he tells you your seed's going to last forever and it's going to be blessed and multiply and all that stuff, are you going to die? You're not going to die. You're going to live forever. And he said unto Abram, know, chapter 15, verse 13, and he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom thou shalt serve I will judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. And they shall go to the fathers in peace, and thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation thou shalt come hither again, for the iniquities of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. He made agreement with them, didn't he? That smoking furnace and burning lamp are a sign of the covenant that God gave who? You and I. Abraham. That burning light lamp is the light of the way. The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. A smoking furnace is a type of tribulation. Deuteronomy chapter 4. God is going to preserve Israel through affliction and into the land. And you think they was down in there how long? 400 years. You think any of them died? Oh, yeah. You think they was enslaved? Chapter 15, verse 18. In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, until thy seed have I given I have given this land from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. So he's marking it off. It's huge. And God gives him some boundaries of the land. So God confirms a covenant with Abraham in Genesis 17. Go be turning there. And he does it. And he makes it very clear that it's going to be a great nation that will come from him. And they're going to have a land to have dominion over. In Genesis 17, he confirms the covenant in Abraham and changes his name. It was Abram up to this point, right? Genesis 17:4. As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. You see that? Not just one nation, many nations. Neither shall thy name be any more called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of these. So not only there will be a land, but now there are going to be some kings involved. And when you have kings involved, that means you have a what?
Kingdom.
Not only a kingdom, but what does a king sit on? A throne. And kings reign over a throne. We was talking last week, talking about some ancestry stuff and how you look back through some things and you can trace some of your relatives that sit on thrones in these countries and stuff. And you think, wow, that's exciting. But what does that give us today? We just spent $19 on ancestry.com. You know, but anyway, hey, we serve a living Savior. We serve the Lord of Lords, Kings of Kings, and that's all you got to worry about today, right? And they rule over a dynasty. The Abrahamic covenant not only includes the land that Israel is going to reign over, but it also, there will be a throne. And there will be kings come of him. Were they? Yes. So that's the first one. How much time we got? We got a few more minutes? Okay. We're in 17, right? Okay. The next one, it brings on Leon said it earlier, the Davidic covenant. Not only are you going to have some land, not only are you going to have a nation, you're going to have a king. You have to have somebody have some kings to them. And we call that the Davidic covenant. And the Palestine covenant about the land finds its basics in the covenant God made with Abraham. Davidic covenant has to do with a throne that is going to rule over the land. Also finds its basis where? In the Abrahamic covenant. And it's important that you get a hold of this. Because everything starts with Israel and a covenant God made with Abraham. And everything else is an outgrowth of that covenant. That's why I said on front, when you mention this guy in certain parts of the world, they know who you're talking about. Abraham had two kids, right? Who are they? Who was his covenant with? What did he do with Ishmael? Kicked him out on the street and said, go fend for yourself? There'd be princes come from him. There'd be thrones come from him. But my covenant is with who? Isaac has a kid. He has two kids. Who are they? Esau and who? Esau and Jacob. Who's older? By how many seconds? You know what I mean? Because they're supposed to be like twins. One of them Jacob had his hand on his heel, right? And came out. What does Esau lose? What does Esau sell Jacob? What does Isaac do to Jacob? Gives him the blessings. What does Esau do? Got mad, want to kill him, right? So Esau runs out and marries some Canaanites. That's where the Arab people come from. But who's their daddy, 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 daddy? Who are they kin to? No. Abraham. So they're looking at, we got the right to this land just the same as you are. And they look at the Jew, look at Hebrew, look at them like, no, we got the promise. You think that would cause a conflict? You don't have no brothers and sisters, do you? Sherry's a baby of 8, my wife is. And they're going to come a time, God, you know, it's going to happen, that they're going to have to divide up some things. And I'm going to be there with a pitchfork poking Sherry. Get this. No. She's like, I ain't fighting over nothing. You know what I mean? But they're going to be, I saw my father's family, my brothers and sister, we was peacefully. You know, it was like, well, this is what mom wanted us to have, so this is, but I wanted that. You know, that type of thing. You can always do that. But the thing is, the promise was with who? Jacob. And they know who Abraham was and the descendants. And Genesis chapter 17, verse 7, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee and their generations for a what kind of covenant? Everlasting. Now, everlasting gobstopper that Willy Wonka had, how long did it last? Who knows? I'm still chewing on mine. Mine's still under the bed. No, just joking. But it was an everlasting gobstop. It was an everlasting covenant. And it's going to last for how long? Have you ever noticed when we talk about time past, but now and ages have come? You know it says ages to come? It don't just say age. It don't say age. Ages upon ages. This, once it's all said and done, it's going to last forever. That's exciting to know you're a part of that. And now he's not going to give the land to them forever, and he's going to give them a throne forever. And all these covenants in the Bible are called everlasting covenants. But I got to ask you something right quick. Are you a covenant people? God never made a covenant with us, guys. So we're just left out in the cold. We're going to stand over here looking at Israel over there, and we don't have nothing at all. That's sad, sad, sad. I want to be part of them. I want to be like them. So what does religion tell you today? They'll tell you it's okay to trust Christ, die for your sins, and bury rose again, but you got to be what?
Baptized.
Join this church. Pay this tithe. Do this. Do that. You got to be like Israel because they're God's chosen people. What do you know about Israel today again?
No difference.
Not only that, the Bible says, we'll hold that about David for a second, but go to Romans chapter 11 right quick. What God's doing today, Romans chapter 11. What do you know about Romans? It's a book of doctrine. First book of doctrine for who? The body of Christ. Don't ever forget that. A lot of people says, well, it's written to Jews and they're not written to the body of Christ. That type of thing. When was Paul saved? Acts chapter 9. Romans chapter 11. Verse 1 says, and I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I am of an Israelite and a seed of Abraham and of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew, or not what the scriptures said unto Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel. So who's writing this right quick? What's he saying? He is. Yes, he's in Israel. You ever read his pedigree in, I think it's Philippians? The tribe of Benjamin, a Pharisee of Pharisees. Touching the law, blameless. He was moving up in the world. But what did he do? Well, let's keep reading for a little bit. Then he says, verse 11, I say then, he's talking about Israel, Have they stumbled that they should fall? That's a question. Have they stumbled that they should fall? Where did the nation Israel stumble? They was moving right along. Got to remember, God, Israel, politically and spiritually of the earth, they had it all. But what did they do politically back way back in times past? Because they had sin on them. God gave them up, okay? And Daniel, they go in captivity. Reason why they going up, they started whoring around with other gods. And they started bringing them in the sanctuary and stuff like that. And God says, God says in Daniel that he gets up from a mercy seat where he was at as Israel. Going. He goes to that threshold. Going. And he goes out to the field. Gone. He removed himself, Israel, from the political stance of the world, and they fell in idolatry, and they've been there ever since. But he still didn't give them up spiritually, did he? So he comes on the scene. The Lord Jesus Christ is born at the right time. John the Baptist comes on the right time. We just went over this a little while ago. They killed John the Baptist, strike one. They crucified the Lord Jesus Christ, strike two. They stoned Stephen, strike three. And this is where you're at. You ever play baseball? How many strikes you get? Four?
Three.
Six? Three strikes, you're out. Israel strikes out, and they begin to fall. He says, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Where did they stumble at? The cross. He gives them 1 year from Acts chapter 1 to Acts chapter 7. What we're reading at right here is 1 year in your Bible. I know it seems like 20 or 30 years. It's 1 year in your Bible, and God gave them 1 year to dung that fig tree, that religious system that they're supposed to be at, and give and bear fruit. And if they did not bear fruit, what was the Lord going to do? Hew it down. So that's where they're at. They didn't bear fruit as a nation. Okay? Little flock was doing their thing, and the rest of the nation wasn't doing. God was dealing with the nation. Then he says, but rather through their fall. So they do fall. Salvation is coming to the Gentiles to provoke them to what? So if salvation has come to us, a bunch of Gentiles, what is it going to do to those non-believing Jews? Yeah, it's like, wait a minute, God's supposed to be on this side. Now he's on this side. Which side do I got to be on? So there's a battle going on there. And he says, now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, so they do fall. And the diminishing of them be the riches of the Gentile, how much more what? And then verse 15 says, and if the casting away of them be reconciled to the world. I thought God didn't cast them away over here. He did cast them away. So they diminishing the fall, that's why Acts chapter 9 down to 28, the book of Acts is a diminishing book, a transitional book. So what happens in Acts 15, right quick, versus Galatians chapter 2? What is going on in Acts chapter 15? Well, that's 10. Look at Acts 15 right there. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Now, by the time you get to Acts 15, who is in the picture here? Who's I don't want to say running the show, but who's the main person on the scene? Give Paul. Thank you. Okay, in Acts 15, in Galatians chapter 2, you can't forget this, guys. In the dispensation of grace, get Galatians 2:2. Acts 15, okay, look at verse 1. And a certain man came down from Judea taught the brethren, said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be what? Saved. Now, is that what Paul was preaching? And it says, verse 2, when therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small, what's that?
Dissension
and deputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them shall go up to Jerusalem and to the apostles and elders about the question. Now, Paul done been saved for years. And if you know who Paul was and he got saved in Damascus, he did not run back to Jerusalem and say, look, Peter, James, and John, I'm a part of you guys now. He went straight and started preaching a different gospel. He did not preach the kingdom gospel that the little flock preached. So here's a guy coming down from where? Judea? Saying, you've got to be circumcised after manner. What did the Israelites do? Yes. You know the Islam people circumcised too? They hold the same religions. They just hate their brother. They just hate their cousin. But look, so you got a guy right now. Paul's already been preaching this. And they went to Paul and like, hey, this is not what you're doing. This is not what we're doing. Let's go to Jerusalem. Because if you're getting orders from Peter, James, and John that says this, we need to go talk to them. Galatians chapter 2. That's why you always have, compare Galatians 2 and 15. If you want to know what's going on here, that's where you find it. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 1, verse 11 says, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which I preached of me is not after who? Galatians chapter 1, verse 11, after man. So what does that tell you? Did Paul get anything from the man? The glorified risen Lord. He got his, but he didn't learn it from me and you or Peter, James, and John. For neither I received it of man, neither I was taught it, but by revelation of who? For ye have heard of my conversation in time past and Jews' religions where that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. He had threatening letters there. He was moving up. And by the way, what do we say? What do you know about blaspheming? What do they say the unpardonable sin is that 90% of people say? Blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. When Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross, he says, you blaspheme against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven you. Father, forgive them, for they know what to do. He forgave the world for crucifying him. But he says, if you blaspheme against the who? Holy Spirit, you will not be forgiven in this world or the world to come. What was Paul doing? Could Paul? He was blaspheming. He calls himself a blasphemer and an injurious. So in that economy, could Paul be in this little flock? Could he even get saved? He was damned. But God chose a blasphemer and an injurious as our pattern. What does that tell you? Who can be saved today? Everybody. But anyway, he goes right here. He says, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me into his grace. You know who that mother's womb is? It's not his. It's Israel. He separated himself from Israel. And he says, to reveal in me the Son that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Immediately he did not go to them. Sorry, guys. I forgot my napkin today. But chapter 2 is where I want to see. So he goes, in 14 years I went up again to Jerusalem and Barnabas and took Titus with me. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them the gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were a repetition reputation. Lest by any means I should run and had run in vain. So in other words, he's meeting with Peter, James, and John in private. He's not going to pull them out and embarrass them. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, who was compelled to be what? And that because of false brethren, unaware, brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into what? So if you're going back into the circumcision program, if you're going back under the law program, what Paul call that? Bondage. That's what religion is. Bondage. And they're looking through that window right there and spying on Paul because they got Titus, who was not what? Circumcised. Well, Titus. He's got Titus with him, don't he? Yeah, Titus with me also. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be. And verse 5, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour. They didn't give them a minute. And that the truth of the gospel might be what? That should tell us something. When we're talking to people and sharing with people, we need to be aware of some things that you don't get compromised in your dealings with people. But verse 6, but of these who seem to be somewhat, whosoever they were, it make no matter to me, love that, God accepts no man person, for they who seem to be somewhat in conference added what? Now, who was in conference? Can you imagine looking at them and say, you're adding nothing to me? And he goes, but contrary wise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me as the gospel of the circumcision wasn't to Peter. Ooh, wait a minute. There's two different gospels right there. There's only one gospel. No, what is it? Two there. Go down to verse 9. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived that the grace that was given unto me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, the right hand of fellowships, that we should go to the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Only that they would, that we should remember the poor, the same which I also forward to do so. Now, I'm going to say something right quick about this. When they saw that circumcision was committed to uncircumcision, gospel was committed to Paul, and he saw the gospel that circumcision committed to Peter, they shook hands. They made a bound contract. That's when the Great Commission that everybody wants to put you under went out of commission. And everybody that was not in that little circumcising flock right there, because they did not further it after Acts chapter 9, because you can read in 11 to the Jews only. You could not be saved in there. So the message going out from there was the gospel of the circumcision. But who was the heathen again? If you in that kingdom, that little flock, if you were not saved in that little flock right there, that means you was a... He didn't say Gentiles. He said heathen. So those fallen Jews that's out there today, and the fallen Gentiles out there today are heathen, and there's only one gospel that saves them today. But he also said down there, he says, but only that you should remember the poor. You remember in Acts chapter 2 in the upper room? Sold everything they had, and gave each man... That's a form of government. Okay. Communism. He said it. But you go like this. It went bankrupt. It went bankrupt. So that's why Paul says, when I come visit you, you take up the money before I get there. I don't want that going on business-wise. And he took the money and gave it to the poor saints. They still had to survive, but they knew what was going over here. But today, what a message we got today. I mean, this nation out there's dark world, and y'all, I guarantee you, you're going to see 15 people this week. You're going to see a lot more than that. Just ask them. You don't have to get into a lot of stuff like, you know, chase them down the street and beat them over the head with a Bible. You know, just say, hey, you know where you're spending eternity? You're going to get the opportunity no matter what. People you might have been working with forever and never thought about asking them. Lord, thank you for the day. Thank you for things given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Until next week.